Muti, the personification. Api, although. Evam, thus. Arya, O Lord. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Paripati, maintains. Dinan, the poor in heart. Vasra, a cow. Iva, like. Vatsakam, unto the calf. Anugraha, to bestow mercy. Katara, eager. Asman, upon me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. My Lord, O Supreme Lord, You are the supreme personified form of all benediction. Therefore, for one who abides in Your devotional service with no other desire, worshipping Your lotus feet is better than becoming king and lording it over a kingdom. That is the benediction of worshipping Your lotus feet. To ignorant devotees like me, You are the costlessly merciful maintainer, just like a cow who take care of the newly born calf by supplying milk and giving it protection from attack. Translation repeat. My Lord, O Supreme Lord, You are the supreme personified form of all benediction. Therefore, for one who abides in Your devotional service with no other desire, worshipping Your lotus feet is better than becoming king and lording it over a kingdom. That is the benediction of worshipping Your lotus feet. To ignorant devotees like me, You are the costlessly merciful maintainer, just like a cow who take care of the newly born calf by supplying milk and giving it protection from attack. Purport. Dhruva Maharaja was cognizant of the defective nature of his own devotional service. Pure devotional service is without material form and is not covered by mental speculation or fruitive activities. Pure devotional service is therefore called aitukhi, unmotivated. Dhruva Maharaja knew that he had come to worship the Lord in devotional service with a motive, to get the kingdom of his father. Such an adulterated devotee can never see the Supreme Personality of God face to face. He therefore felt very grateful for the causeless mercy of the Lord. The Lord is so merciful that not only does He fulfill the desire of a devotee who is driven by ignorance and desire for material benefit, but He also gives such a devotee all protection, just as a cow gives milk to a newly born calf. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord gives intelligence to the constantly engaged devotee so that he may gradually approach the Lord without difficulty. A devotee must be very sincere in his devotional service. Then, although there may be many things wrong on the devotee's part, Krishna will guide him and gradually elevate him to the highest position of devotional service. The Lord is addressed herein by Dhruva Maharaj as Purusha Artha Muti, the ultimate goal of life. Generally, Purusha Artha is taken to mean execution of a type of religious principle or worship of God in order to get material benediction. Prayers for material benediction are intended for satisfying the senses. And when one is frustrated and cannot fully satisfy the senses in spite of all endeavor, he desires liberation or freedom from material existence. These activities are generally called Purusha Artha. But actually, the ultimate goal is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Panchama Purusharatha, the ultimate goal of life. Lord Chaitanya therefore taught us not to ask from the Supreme Personality any benediction such as material wealth, popularity or a good wife. One should simply pray to the Lord to the constantly engaged in His transcendental loving service. Dhruva Maharaja, being cognizant of his desire for material benefit, wanted protection from the Lord so that he might not be misled or deviated from the path of devotional service by material desires. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakya Sakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrijatam Sagagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagagana Sri Vishakhanvitam Sa Ye Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Adhitana Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. The supreme blessings of all assembled Vaishnava, I like to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. So, it's an interesting purport actually. So we are coming to the conclusion of Dhruva Maharaj prayers. So text 6 to 17 is the prayers by Dhruva Maharaj to the Supreme Lord. And the form of the Lord which appeared before Dhruva Maharaj is Prishnikarba. So here this is the conclusion. So basically this talks about the benediction of praying. So the devotional service has to be unmotivated. Should not have any motivation behind doing devotional service. So this is stressed in Nectar of Devotion as well. So hai tuki, that is unmotivated. What if someone has a motivation behind devotional service? So here you see example of Dhruva Maharaj. So he has some motivation. And his motivation is very clear that he wants a kingdom which is bigger than his father, grandfather and great-great-grandfather. Which we can relate sometime that we might perform devotional service, maybe tinged with some material desires or some karma, jnana, or you know, some other. So, but that is not disheartening, because the benediction which is given here, that although Dhruva Maharaj approached the Lord with some motivation in his heart, that
he engaged in the worship of the Lord. That is the benediction. So one may have some material desire or some motivation in doing devotional service, but approaching the Supreme Lord is the benediction, because you are approaching the right person in this subject matter. So that itself a great benediction, because in Srimad Bhagavatam you know that if one is full of material desire, if doesn't have any desire, or if he wants to attain liberation, that is freedom from material desire or freedom from this whole material realm, you have to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because by approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything can be purified. So that is the great benediction, that not approaching any other demigod or any other personality for, you know, getting rid of material desire or satisfying your desire. Because one is coming to the Supreme Lord with material desire, that itself a great boon, because with that he can purify his own heart. So that's why Dhruva Maharaj here, you know, we can see the benediction, that even though he approached the Lord for a wrong reason, but he engaged in the worship of the Lord. So that is the benediction we should, that when we may not be in a pure state that we perform devotional service without any motive, but at least we should approach the Supreme Lord and reveal our heart. So then, it can be purified. So here we can see in the first statement, Prabhupada write that Dhruva Maharaj was cognizant, that means he is knowledgeable, of the defective nature of his own devotional service. So this is actually, this is actually a good progress in devotional service. That the good progress in devotional service is that we identify our enemies, or we identify our shortcoming in performing devotional service. So either with our own intelligence or with borrowed intelligence. That someone pointing out that we are going in a wrong direction, or we are performing, or we have some shortcoming, that itself a great achievement in the path of devotional service. Because if you don't know what is wrong, then it's very difficult to correct the wrong thing. So this is a great thing. Because Dhruva Maharaj know what is his weakness, so he is praying, so the Lord, you know, removing that. So similarly, in our devotional service, if we understand where we are falling short in our devotional service, that will be a great achievement to work on the shortcoming and the anarthas in our heart. So this is a great step in going forward in devotional service. Now, this motivated devotional or performing devotional service was condemned by even Dhruva Maharaj. So in the earlier verses, he says, okay, fine, I'm worshipping you, but I'm a fool. I'm a fool. Because why? I'm worshipping you for a sense gratification. Fool like me worship you for sense gratification. He claiming himself as a fool, even though he's a great devotee. Because why he's saying? Because this sense gratification is even available in the hellish condition. Why should I worship you for this? This is available even for hellish condition. But I am so thankful. So I am so grateful to you, because you appeared. Even, you know, the Prabhupada writes in the purport that if you are worshipping with some material desire, then it's very difficult to see the Supreme Lord face to face. If you can see the Dhruva Maharaj is seeing the Lord face to face, that means he's a merciful. The Lord is so merciful to him that he appeared before him, even though he approached the Lord with a motive. So it's a causeless mercy. And he says, you know, this motivated that, you know, meditating on your lotus feet and glorifying your glories, the bliss derived from that is much, much greater than from karma or jnana path. That is from impersonal realization. That I mean impersonal merging. So he clearly says, you know, that either if you are motivated by karma, jnana, the amount of bliss you are achieved by liberation, impersonal liberation, is much insignificant compared to meditating on a lotus feet. Or either if you are worshipping with material desire, then you are, it's considered like a fool, because that material is that sense gratification, worshipping the Supreme Lord for sense gratification is even available for the hellish condition. So, but I'm your benediction is that I'm engaged in your worship, even though I come in a motive. So that is a causeless mercy you have given to me. So this is the conclusion part of the this verse. So then, Dhruva Maharaj says, then how do we do this devotional service? How do we do this devotional service? So if earlier he says that, so when you perform devotional service, it's basically you are trying to cross over the material existence. So the boat to cross over the material existence, you need a boat to cross over the material existence. And this boat is constructed by drinking, by hearing the glories of the Lord through our ears. So by hearing the nectarian pastime and qualities of the Supreme Lord by our ear, drinking through the ear, the boat to cross the material existence is constructed. So this is how you develop the devotional service in our heart. So that is what Dhruva Maharaj was glorifying in the previous prayer. And he says that this glorification of the Supreme Lord and this hearing the pastime has to be performed in the association of devotees. This is very important. Because association of devotees is the key factor in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada also writes in Prabhupada that we created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness for the sole purpose that people come and associate and chant and glorify that Supreme Lord, so that we can, this is a cyclic process, that by doing devotional service in the association of devotees, we develop an encouragement to do more devotional service. So when you do devotional service in association of devotees, you are feel enthused and encouraged to do devotional service in the association of devotees, and then what? Again you will increase. So as long as you keep yourself in the association of devotees, you will be engaged in devotional service. It's normal. Like for example, in our life or in our meeting someone, what we do? If you meet someone, nice person, what we do? We ask him to chant Hare Krishna. Or we get him some prasadam. Or we take him to temple. Or we take him to the program. Or we take him to the retreat or take him to, So, as long as association of devotees, we are in association of devotees, either we want or not, we will be forced in the devotional service. But it's unfortunate that, sometimes we avoid the association of devotees thinking that, that we will be engaged in devotional service. That is the most unfortunate condition, that we planning and, we want to try to avoid the situation so that we will be caught in devotional service. So this is the unfortunate situation. Because as we go away from the association of devotees, means we are going away from Krishna. So we have to be associating with devotees. Either through Vani or Vapu or, so many means are there. Nowadays, if you open the internet, you can listen to any lectures. You can see any dham. You can see any deities. You can be sitting here and you can watch live lecture in anywhere. It's like all the facilities are there. So no one is bereft of association. So that association is very important. Here we see in the verse that the kingdom of therefore, one who abides in your devotional service with no other desire, worshipping your lotus feet is better than becoming king and lording it over a kingdom. So this is interesting. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the same statement was given by King Prataprudra. So King Prataprudra wants to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he had heard about, He is the self-same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even his, you know, like the minister Ramananda Rai was a great devotee. Even, he, you know, he wants to meet the Lord, he gave. But then he requested Sarvamo Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, all these devotees that I want to get the audience of Mahaprabhu. Now Mahaprabhu was a very strict sannyasi. He is playing the role of a sannyasi. Even though he know that, you know, King Prataparudra was a great devotee, but he wants to set an example. He said, I cannot give him what he wants because he is a king. He is like a black serpent. Huh? He is like a black serpent. Who wants to associate with a black cobra, you know? Because why? He said, it is risky to associate with two kinds of people. Huh? First one, woman, and person involved in worldly matters. So for a sannyasi, these two things are, you know, prohibited. One is what? Material opulence and sense gratification. Material opulence means person, you know, it's more dangerous to associate who is having that material opulence. And second, sense gratification, that is the peak, which is the association of opposite sex. These two are prohibited. And then he's saying, how can I do it? How can I associate with the person like king? People will think bad. And then all the devotees, Nityananda Prabhu, then Ramananda Rai, Sarvam Bhattacharya, then, you know, everyone recommended, oh Lord, please see, you know, this person is a king and he wants to. Then the Lord said, if you do it again, I will leave this place and I will go to Alalanath. Don't come again with the same request. I don't want to meet him. I don't want to associate him. But, you know, Prataparudra was feeling so bad. He said that, I am happy to renounce this world. I am happy to give up this kingdom. If this is the cause that I am not getting the association of Mahaprabhu, then what is the use of this kingdom I am happy to give? So he was so determined. And devotees told this, you know, see, this person is ready to give the kingdom. And Mahaprabhu was pleased with his determination. He was pleased, okay, this person. But still he said no. Then what happened? Then Nityananda Prabhu gave the dress of Mahaprabhu as a, you know, gift. He worshipped that as the same, you know, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, you know, Sarvam Bhattacharya, they all planned. They said, okay, first, you know, we will take your son. So Mahaprabhu, you know, said, okay, I will give mercy to the son of Prataparudra. So the son came. And he was little bit, you know, dark, black-hued color. So seeing the sun, Mahaprabhu got in ecstasy because he thought of Krishna. So he embraced the sun. And what happened? When Mahaprabhu embraced someone, what happens? Huh? Yeah, like you, are you dancing like in the Kirtan, like that. He'll become a mad person. It was like a mad. And then he went home, and then Prataparudra embraced the son. What happened? He also got the ecstatic symptom of love of Godhead. But still, then Prataparudra was, then they planned, okay, Mahaprabhu will be in Ratayatra. He will be dancing and he will be tired and he will be resting in the nearby garden. That time you go and approach Mahaprabhu. He will be pleased. So Prataparudra was sweeping the cart, before the cart. See, Mahaprabhu saw this and he was so pleased again that, you know, how he is engaging in devotional service. Then Mahaprabhu was dancing and then when he was in ecstasy, he was falling down. Then Prataparudra caught him. By chance, he was there nearby. So when he caught him, Mahaprabhu immediately came in external consciousness. He said, oh no, how can you touch me? But internally, he was pleased. Internally he was pleased that a devotee, you know, associated him, but externally he just, you know, shook him and he said, you know, I cannot touch you. Then Mahaprabhu finally was, you know, in the garden. Then Prataparudra was disguised himself in a Brahmin cloth. Then he approached Mahaprabhu and then he quoted some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are all, you know, devotees helped him. You know, you tell these words, you tell this verse. You tell this, you know, Mahaprabhu go in trance, you know, then you can get audience. So finally, Mahaprabhu gave the association. So the point is that the kingdom of, you know, even Dhruva Maharaj is praying the same, that I am, you know, what is more benediction than you attending your lotus feet? Because That is more greater than becoming a king and lording it over kingdom. You see the great Raja Rishis and the devotees like Prataprutra ready to give the whole kingdom for attaining the devotional service. Because that is the great thing, that here the Lord is there personally and seeing the form. So attachment to the form means detachment from the world. Our nature, our tendency is to get attracted, affected and attached to something. So if we can develop the attachment to the Supreme Lord, we have the Supreme Personality, we have the same self, same form here. If we can develop the attachment to the deities, then we can, you know, it's like indirectly proportionate that as much as we get attachment to Krishna, then we can able to develop a detachment to from this material world. And this form is the explained. So before Dhruva Maharaj explained in the prayer that the absolute truth can be realized in three different level, that is Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So it's like if you are, you know, if you are traveling in Melbourne, if you are, say, for example, going to the western suburb. So from the western suburb, when you are approaching to city, we see the city, like, you know, high rise. We can, from distance, we can see, like, you know, full, like, we can see that's a city. It's like a Brahman realization. Then you come close to city, then you see all these big building, all these, you know, different buildings, different like theaters, then restaurant, then this and that. Then you coming to Dank Street, you see all these building. Then you come into this building, then you see the activities and you see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For face to face, then you are satisfied. When you come to temple, we see the Supreme Person, then we are satisfied. So there is this different level. And that's what we see the Lord. And seeing, we develop this desire. So Dhruva Maharaj says this, there's a topmost desire. The topmost desire is that we don't have any desire, but only one desire, to please Krishna. This is a starting. For example, before this prayer, so Dhruva Maharaj was in a great eagerness and want to desire to pray and to glorify the Lord, to say something. But what happened? Because he's a small boy, he may not know Sanskrit, he may not know grammar, how to glorify. But he has this intense eagerness that he want to. Then what the Supreme Lord did? The Supreme Lord touched the Dhruva Maharaj with a conch, which is a compile of entire Vedas. Conch. Then he can able to glorify and speak. So there's two things here. First, the Prabhupada said, so to glorify or to chant, to speak about the Supreme Lord, one needs the mercy of the Lord. Otherwise, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to glorify. And not only unless one is empowered by the Supreme Lord, it's very difficult to propagate the Sankirtan movement. This is given by Vallabha Bhatt. He says that one devotee is eager to chant and glorify the Lord, but unless one is empowered by the Supreme Lord, it's very difficult to propagate the Sankirtan movement, that is to propagate this chanting of Hare Krishna. So one has to receive the mercy. And the second is, which is very practical, that one may not have a qualification to devotional service, or one may not be having any training or anything how to do, or you know, how, you know, nicely we can do, or any service, anything for that matter. But the main thing is, one is eager to do and one has a desire to do. That is the main thing that one develops. Because if you are eager and if you want to desire to do devotional service, then some or other you will do. Or some or other Krishna will make an arrangement that you will be trained in that devotional service. Say for example, we want to preach. This is a preaching movement. If you have a strong desire and eagerness to preach, then you know Krishna as within give the intelligence. That's what you know Krishna says. I am is situated within everyone and I give the intelligence by which they can speak. A lame man can cross the mountain and a dumb man can give eloquent speech by the mercy. Because that eagerness to do. So for example, we have we go for book distribution. So book distribution, you know, if you see, it's inconceivable that a person take a book. You are there middle, you don't know that person, you don't, you're just speaking something and then you know he is happy to give Lakshmi and then he's taking the book. Much of the time, you know, they after given the book, they realize, oh, how do I end up here, you know? How do I get a book here? You know, this person came and then, you know, gave the book and then he gone, you know, like I have a receipt and I have a book now. What is this happened? So, even, you know, the simple that if you have a desire to give a book, some or other you will give. Just say, you know, this is a book on... What are you saying? This is a book on yoga meditation. We are bringing this book for a donation. And they said, okay, we are giving donation. Okay, take. Because even, you know, if you see the salesperson or anything in the city, they struggle hard. They just, you know, want to do this sale because they get a commission. There is no, as such, you know, eagerness to do this, you know, as a desire to do this. This is my, you know, career. This is my... go, you know, like a dream job or something like that. No. They're just doing this because making money. But for a devotee, that is not the case. Because for a devotee, a devotional service, if you have a desire to eagerness, even if you don't have a negative result, you are successful. Because that desire and eagerness is there, you will get the full result from Krishna. Even you don't have to distribute any book, but you are in the street. You are stopping some people and you are, you know, your desire is to please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you want to preach the glory, guess what, even if the book doesn't go, you are happy. Because you are always, you know, want to have that desire, okay, I want to please Prabhupada. So that desire and eagerness in Dhruva Maharaj, even though he doesn't have that qualification of eloquently giving prayers to Supreme Lord, the Supreme Lord, you know, gave that mercy by touching the conch, then he started speaking the prayers. So that, so engaging in devotional service, so we receive more encouragement within to do more devotional service. And only our part in doing devotional service is sincere in devotional service. So here Dhruva Maharaj is saying that, see, the greatest benediction that someone is worshipping the lotus feet and you know ready to give the kingdom. But he's saying, I'm a devotee with ignorant. I may be approaching you with a wrong motivation. But you are merciful enough that you still giving protection to me and guiding to me. He's saying, he's giving the analogy, Prabhupada, in the Purport also he said, and in the verse, that like a calf, the mother cow is giving protection to the calf. Even though the calf doesn't know anything, still it gives protection. So similarly, I may be an ignorant devotee, but still, you know, give the protection. And eventually, that every obstacle can be changed and gradually elevate to the highest position. So in the second paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada talks about the real goal of life. So the real goal of life is love of Godhead. That is the, you know, Purusharta, we have this four. That is four, that is what? Dharma, Kama, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. You know, we sometimes perform religiosity so that we can have the economic development. Sometimes we worship the demigods or Supreme Lord so that we can get some material desire can be fulfilled, so that we have that, you know, economic development, money, artha. So with that we can do sense gratification. And then frustrated that your senses are not satisfied, then you want to get liberated. Once the senses are not satisfied, then we can get liberated. We want to try for liberation, material freedom from the clutches. Then that is the Purusharta. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked about the fifth anga, that is prema, that is love of Godhead. So here Mahaprabhu prayed that I don't want any wealth, I don't want any popularity or any, you know, woman. All I want is constantly engaged in chanting of Hare Krishna, or constant, that is what, constantly engaged in his transcendental loving service. Mahaprabhu said, I don't want any material wealth, any material fame, adoration or followers, or, you know. So anything, just I want is that constant transcendental loving service. So that is the thing. Because we hear, you know, so many times that, okay, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. It doesn't work. Like adding water and oil. It doesn't mix. It has to be separate. Because that satisfying senses will be forcing us to think in bodily consciousness. As we satisfy, you know, trying to satisfy more of our senses, then it pulls down to the bodily consciousness. So if you are in bodily consciousness, then it's very difficult to perform transcendental activities, because the first preliminary step for a transcendentalist is that he has to think that he is not this body, he is a spirit soul. And by satisfying the senses of Krishna, then we can be happy. So that is the understanding, that is the philosophy, that one understand how not to satisfy his senses, then satisfying the senses of Krishna. Now, but it is very difficult without doing sense gratification. We've been taught, we've been trained in this field for so many lifetime, that how to satisfy one's senses nicely. So there is something that is, we have to regulate our sense gratification. So how do we do that? We engage the senses in the service of Krishna. That also has to be very carefully done. Sometimes, you know, we try to do sense gratification and trying to justify that as Krishna consciousness. Like we want to eat, we eat outside. So when we become devotee, we still want to eat outside. So then we choose, oh, okay, fine, we'll go to the restaurant where no onion and garlic, and we'll eat. Or we'll have some which is, you know, no meat eating, no animal products, no onion and no garlic. Okay, this product I can eat. We go to supermarket, we buy. But that is not Krishna consciousness. That is still sense gratification, because we are trying to accommodate our sense gratification in the umbrella of Krishna consciousness. Doesn't mean that you are performing Krishna consciousness, because it's still not offered to Krishna. It's still not, you know, bona fide. So we have to be careful that if you are engaging the senses, means that, okay, fine, if you want to eat, then we have, you know, prasadam. And we cook at home, we offer, and then we satisfy Krishna. See, satisfy ourselves. So that is the thing. So unregulated sense gratification is also has to be done very carefully. And eventually elevate ourselves that we want to satisfy the senses of Krishna. So that's how we can able to get gradually elevate from our entanglement and perform pure devotional service. So I'll just stop here and see if anyone has any correction or question, comments. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
You're saying that Brahman realization is like being far away from the sea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get in the temple and then you're satisfied. And I feel like in Krishna consciousness as well, you can be sort of like, you know, a little far away and then you can get into it and then you can get really into it.
Yeah.
What would you say is a good way to deepen and get closer to Krishna?
There's three level also like that, you know, like far and take whatever I like in Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, some people say, yeah, don't worry about these books and all, I like food. If you have any food, give. Like, and then, you know, you are in middle, you know, like sometimes you do things because you are asked to do, and then the level, you know, sometimes you don't do even if you don't like, because to satisfy Krishna. That is what Rupa Goswami says, that you give up things which you don't like and you like, and then accept things which you don't like, because this is a higher purpose, higher goal. So to get to closer to Krishna, basically we can equip with our knowledge. So we read for example, if you want to know that person very deep, if you want to know, then you need to get the knowledge of the person either by asking himself or from people who know that person, right? Either we can directly go to that person and ask, or we can ask the person whom that, you know, very familiar or very close to that person. Then we can able to go deep or closer to that person. So we read Bhagavad Gita, which is like directly asking that person, because Krishna is speaking directly to Arjuna. And we have Srimad Bhagavatam, which is spoken about Krishna by the pure devotees who are very close to Krishna. So we have to read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can develop that knowledge about that personality. So the more you know about that person, then you are more attracted to that person. So very easy. So if you associate with that person more, then you develop that liking for that personality. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Because, of course, you know, to understand Krishna, it's not easy. But at least we can follow in the footstep of great devotees who have who have glorified Krishna in, like for example, Dhruva Maharaj prayers. We may not pray to Krishna or see Krishna in that vision of what the great devotees are seeing, but at least we can pray in the same way and pray to Krishna that, please allow me that I can come closer to you, please accept me. And it is possible, because He is always eager to receive us. Even though one may have a shortcoming or fault in one, but still he will accept. So that is, I guess that's okay. We know about Krishna, yeah. Yes, Prabhu. First is an association with devotees who are very eager in, and then preaching. What I recently is like, because when we are preaching to new people, you have to start from scratch. Like, they don't know that you are in a devotee for 10 years or 15, 20 years or whatever, you know. They see you just a person. So you cannot impress the person with your previous baggage of what you are in devotional service. Right? He will be like, you are just a friend, like, you know, if you speak. And then you are trying to, you know, strike a great connection, that person to Krishna. And by mercy of Krishna, that person is chanting and performing devotion service. Seeing that, we will be enthused. We will be forced to preach more, because it's like, you know, you are preaching and you are seeing that person is taking Krishna consciousness. So you are naturally, you know, you are very enthusiastic, because, you know, that person is much more enthusiastic. If you see, when initially, you know, when someone in Krishna consciousness is like the honeymoon period, is like, you know, full of bliss. The new person, you know, like first 2 years of Krishna consciousness is like full nectar, Prabhu, like amazing, Prabhu. He says, yeah, Harinam, yeah, I'm ready. You know, you'll see, yes, I'm coming. Yeah, ready. Ready for Harinam, ready for, you know, Kirtan, ready for class. Anything you say, yes. Yes, only the answer. No, no. Yes, coming. Yes, yeah. So they are very enthusiastically, you know, participating. And to keep up their pace, you have to increase your bar. Even though you may be having a sad day, like, you know, one time what happened? We went to... I and another devotee went to one of the backpackers to put a poster for one of the program. And the program was happiness event something. Okay? This is the first backpacker we are going. And it's a Monday morning. And after the program, morning program, everything, and then we are going. Then we went inside. And I and another one, we said, you know, hey, we want to put this poster like that. And then he saw this. Then he saw the poster and he said, you know, this is a happiness event. You guys doesn't look like happy. Why you are promoting this event? I was like, it's right, you know. Then, you know, then immediately he is smiling. no, like that. So he actually made a point. Huh? If you are promoting an event on happiness, it's literally happiness event. It's like, you know, like we are, and then you're going like, you know, like for example, you're going on the street, and then you're giving the book. You know, this is a chant and be happy. You know, if you take, you will be happy. You know, try. Then you see, you know, what this guy doing here? He's giving a book on happiness, and he look miserable. So at least, you know, I think Bhakti Sagar Maharaj, he was saying, if Krishna is watching, at least you are, you know, entertaining. When Krishna is watching at you, at least you are entertaining. Like, you know, you are at least, you know, put up, you know, like, okay, fine. Even though you have some, you know, you are make a happy, you know, show, okay. And at least, you know, You know, sometimes they say you fake till you make. I don't know whether that is true. But at least, you know, externally, because when we are meeting new people, we are have to be forced to come out of that, you know, whatever things are there. We are, you know, put up a, you know, like, okay, happy. And, you know, they're showing them this is a happy process. So that's where, you know, you are. So, we said, okay. I don't know, you have to tell me. Okay, we'll stop here. Yantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.